Cassette number 6, side 1, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire. Continuing section 1, division F. Introductory questions on page 236. In connection with the heavenly men functioning through the planets, there are therefore three planets which might be considered as synthesizing planets, and four which are blended eventually until the three have absorbed the essence of the four. Finally, the one absorbs the essence of the three, and the work is completed. This process lies many millennia ahead during the inevitable period of the gradual obscuration of our system. Four of the heavenly men find their magnetic opposites and fuse and blend. First, this takes place between themselves, the negative and the positive rays merging and fusing, forming then the two from the four. Again, the two merge, producing a united whole, and the one thus produced blends with the major third ray, the intelligence aspect, the ray represented in our planetary hierarchy by the Mahachohan. So the fusion will proceed until ultimately unity is reached in the system and the sun has accomplished his purpose. He is perfected love wisdom. His light shines forth cosmically. His magnetic radius touches the periphery of his cosmic opposite, and the marriage of the sun is effected. The two cosmic units merge. If we here naturally ask, what is the cosmic unit that is our solar opposite, we shall be told that that question lies hid for the present, though it is hinted at in the secret doctrine and in other sacred books. Page 237. A hint lies concealed in the relationship of the Pleiades to our Earth, but not until a further precession of the equinoxes will it be more fully seen what is the exact relationship involved. Roman numeral 3. Why is this solar system evolving along the lines of duality? 1. The problem of existence. The third question involves one of the most difficult problems in metaphysics and covers in its consideration the whole perplexing mystery of the reason why there is objectivity at all. It is one that informs by men of every school of thought, by religious people who inquire, why did God create at all? Why is existence forced upon one and all? By scientists in their search for the ultimate truth, and in their endeavor to find out the motivation of all that is seen and to account for sensuous life, by philosophers in their equally diligent search for that animating subjectivity that is expressing itself through all the moral and ethical sciences in every civilization and among every people, by the biologist in his persistent application to search for the discovery of the source of life, and in his strenuous endeavor to account for the principle of life that is seen ever to evade his investigations, by the mathematician who, dealing with the form side of manifestation in all the grades of mathematics, decides that God geometrizes, that law and rule pervade universally, that the one exists by means of the many, and who yet is unable to solve the problem as to who that geometrizing identity may be. Page 238. So the problems persist, and all the many lines of approach, in the endeavor to find the solution, end in the cul-de-sac of hypothesis, and in the recognition of an ultimate something of such an elusive nature that men are forced, seemingly, to predicate a source of energy, of life, of intelligence, and to call it by diverse names according to the trend, religious, scientific, or philosophical, of their minds. God, the universal mind, energy, force, the absolute, the unknown, these terms and many others are forced from the lips of those who, by means of the form side, seek the dweller within the form and cannot find him as yet. This failure to find him is due to the limitations of the physical brain and to the lack of development in the mechanism whereby the spiritual may be known and whereby he may and eventually will be contacted. The problem of duality is the problem of existence itself and cannot be solved by the man who refuses to recognize the possibility of two occult facts. 1. That the entire solar system embodies the consciousness of an entity who originates on planes entirely without the solar ring pass knot. 2. That manifestation is periodical and that the law of rebirth is the method that evolution takes in dealing with a man, a planetary logos, and a solar logos. Hence the emphasis laid in the proem of the secret doctrine on the three fundamentals, A, the boundless immutable principle, and B, the periodicity of the universe, C, the identity of all souls with the Oversoul. When scientists recognize these two facts, then their explanations will take a different line, and the truth, as it is, will begin to illuminate their reason. Few men are yet ready for illumination, which is simply the light of the intuition breaking through the barriers that the rational faculty has erected. Page 239. The duality of the solar system will eventually be recognized as dependent upon the following factors: A. Existence itself. B. Time and space. C. The quality of desire or necessity. D. The acquisitive faculty inherent in life itself. This faculty, by the means of motion, gathers to itself the material whereby it achieves its desire, whereby it fabricates the form through which expression is sought, and whereby it confines itself within the prison of the sheath in order to gain experience. The supposition is correct that this theory takes for granted a mighty intelligence who works thus through an ordered plan, and who consciously takes shape and incarnates in order to carry out specific purposes of his own. But this hypothesis is but the rock-bottom fact underlying the Eastern teaching, and is one that is largely accepted, though diversely expressed and viewed by thinkers of all schools of thought throughout the globe. Even this conception is but a partial presentation of the real idea, but, owing to the limitations of man at this stage of evolution, it is sufficient as a working basis on which he may erect his temple of truth. This entity, whom we call the solar logos, is in no sense the same as the personal God of the Christian, who is no more nor less than man himself, expanded into a being of awful power and subject to the virtues and vices of man himself. The solar logos is more than man, for he is the sum total of all the evolutions within the entire solar system, including the human, which is an evolution standing at a middle point in relation to the other evolutions. On one side of him are ranged hosts of beings who are more than human, and who, in past kalpas, reached and passed the stage where man now is. On the other side are hosts of the subhuman evolutions who, in future kalpas, will achieve the stage of humanity. Page 240. Man stands midway between the two and is at the point of balance. Herein lies his problem. He does not partake wholly of the material side of evolution, nor is he wholly the expression of the third logos, the Brahma aspect of the deity, who is an expression of pure energy or intelligence, motivating that tenuous something which we call substance. He is not wholly spirit, the expression of the first logos, the Mahadeva aspect, which is an expression of pure will or necessitous desire impelling to manifestation. It is the fundamental motive itself, or the great will to be. Man is a product of the union of the two. He is the meeting place of matter or active intelligence substance and of spirit or the basic will. He is the child born of their marriage or at-one-ment. He assumes objectivity in order to express that which is in each of the two opposites, plus the result of their merging in himself. 2. Its nature and duality. In terms of quality, what have we? Active intelligence at one with will or power produces that son of necessity, as HPB expresses it, who embodies intelligence, will, or desire, and their united latent demonstration, love, wisdom. In terms of fire, how might we express an analogous thought? The fire latent in matter, itself a product of an earlier manifestation of the same cosmic identity, or the relatively perfected quality worked out by him in a previous cosmic incarnation, is set in motion again by the desire of that same identity to circle once more the wheel of rebirth. That fire by friction produces heat and radiation, and calls forth a reaction from its opposite, electric fire, or spirit. Page 241. Here we have the thought of the ray striking through matter, for the action of electric fire is ever forward, as earlier suggested. The one ray, electric fire, drops into matter. This is the systemic marriage of the father and the mother. The result is the blending of these two fires and their united production of that expression of fire which we call solar fire. Thus is produced the sun. Active intelligence and will are united, and love wisdom, when perfected through evolution, will be the outcome. Electric fire or spirit, united to fire by friction, heat, produces solar fire or light. Hence, when the cosmic entity takes form, there is added to the active intelligence, which is the product of his earlier incarnation, a further quality, which is inherent and potential, that of love wisdom. This is the ability to love that which is objective or the not-self, and ultimately to use with wisdom the form. Pure will is as yet an abstraction and will only be brought into full development in another incarnation of the Logos. Mind or intelligence is not an abstraction. It is something that is. Neither is love wisdom an abstraction. It is in process of development or bringing into manifestation and is the aspect of the sun. What is above stated is in no way new, but these thoughts on essential duality are gathered together in order to convey to our minds the necessity of viewing these things from the standpoint of their place in the cosmic scheme, and not from the point of view of our own planetary evolution and of man himself. Humanity is that evolution through which the sun aspect is to express itself most perfectly in this cosmic incarnation. Man blends the pairs of opposites, and the three fires meet in him. He is the best expression of the monastic principle, and might be considered, from one very interesting standpoint, the chef d'oeuvre of Brahma. Page 242. He is the sheath for the life of God. He is the individualized consciousness of the Logos, manifesting through the seven divine Manasaputras, or heavenly men, in whose bodies each unit of the human family finds place. He is the Vishnu aspect in process of development through the intelligence of Brahma, impelled by the will of Mahadeva. Therefore, in a peculiar sense, man is very important, as he is the place of at-one-ment for all the three aspects. Nevertheless, he is very unimportant, for he is not the apex of the triangle, but simply the middle point, if we view the triangle thus: Spirit, Father, the Son or Man, Matter, Mother. The evolution of the Son, or the cosmic incarnation of the Christ, is of immense importance in the plans of the being greater than the solar Logos, he about whom naught may be said. The animating principles of allied constellations and systems watch the progress of the evolution of the Sun with keenest attention. Just as the planet called the Earth is regarded as the turning point or the battleground between spirit and matter, and is therefore, from that very consideration, of great importance, so our solar system holds an analogous place in the cosmic scheme. The cosmic man, the solar Arjuna, is wrestling for his individualized, perfected self-consciousness and for freedom and liberation from the form and from the not-self. So man on this planet battles for similar ideals on his tiny scale. So battle in heaven Michael and his angels, or the divine heavenly men, whose problem is the same on the higher scale. Duality and the interplay between the two produces A. objectivity, or the manifested sun or sun, B. evolution itself, C. the development of quality, D. time and space. Page 243. The questions we are now engaged in answering embody certain fundamental aspects of manifestation, viewed principally from the subjective or psychic angle. Roman numeral 4. What is consciousness? What is its place in the scheme of things? Consciousness might be defined as the faculty of apprehension and concerns primarily the relation of the self to the not-self, of the knower to the known, and of the thinker to that which is thought about. All these definitions involve the acceptance of the idea of duality, of that which is objective, and of that which lies back of objectivity. Footnote. Consciousness is the cosmic seed of supercosmic omniscience. It has the potentiality of budding into divine consciousness. The universe is an aggregate of states of consciousness. Consciousness may be roughly divided into 1. Absolute or God consciousness, I am that I am, unmanifested Logos. 2. Universal or group consciousness, I am that, manifested Logos, consciousness of planetary Logos. 3. Individual or self-consciousness, I am, human consciousness. 4. Consciousness or atomic consciousness, subhuman consciousness. The goal of consciousness for 1. A planetary logos, absolute consciousness. 2. Man, group consciousness. 3. Atom, self-consciousness. The logos is the macrocosm for man. Man is the macrocosm for the atom. These footnotes were taken from Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1, 2, and 3. Return to text. Consciousness expresses that which might be regarded as the middle point in manifestation. It does not involve entirely the pole of spirit. It is produced by the union of the two poles and the process of interplay and of adaptation that necessarily ensues. It might be tabulated as follows in an effort to clarify by visualization. Page 244. The tabulation has three columns entitled First Pole, the point of union, Second Pole. Under First Pole, First Logos, under the point of union, Second Logos, under Second Pole, Third Logos. Mahadeva, Vishnu, Brahma. Will, Wisdom, Love, Active Intelligence, Spirit, Consciousness, Matter. Father, Son, Mother. Monad, Ego, Personality. The Self, the relation between, the Not-Self. The Knower, Knowledge, the Known. Life, Realization, Form. One could go on piling up terms, but the above suffices to demonstrate the relationship between the threefold logos during manifestation. Emphasis must be laid upon the above fact. The solar system embodies the above logoic relationship during evolutionary objectivity, and the whole aim of progressive development is to bring the son of the father and the mother to a point of full realization, of complete self-consciousness, and to full and active knowledge. This sun is objectively the solar system, inherently will or power, and subjectively he is love wisdom. This latter quality is in process of development through the utilization of active intelligence. The three manifested persons of the logoic triad seek full development by means of each other. The will to be of the Mahadeva aspect seeks, with the aid of the intelligence of Brahma, to develop love wisdom or the sun aspect, the Vishnu aspect. In the microcosmic system, the reflection of the threefold logos, the man is endeavoring through the three vehicles to attain the same development on his own plane. On higher planes, the heavenly men, through Atma, Buddhi, Manas, aim at a similar progression. These two, the heavenly men plus the units in their bodies, which are composed of Deva and human monads, form in their totality the grand heavenly man. When man achieves, then the heavenly men likewise achieve. When they reach their full growth and knowledge and are self-conscious on all planes, then the sun achieves, and the solar system, his body of manifestation and experience, has served its purpose. Page 245. The sun is liberated. Extend the idea of this threefold development of consciousness to the logos in a still larger cycle, to that of the three solar systems of which this is the middle one. And we have repeated on cosmic levels in connection with the logos the process of the development of man in the three worlds. The macrocosm, the first solar system, embodied the I Am principle. The second solar system is embodying the I Am That principle. The third solar system will embody the I Am That I Am principle. The microcosm. The first manifestation, the personality, embodies the I Am principle. The second manifestation, the ego, is embodying the I Am That principle. The third manifestation, the monad, will embody the I Am That I Am principle. Thus, the different factors play their part in the general scheme of things and are all interrelated, and all are interested parts and members one of the other. Roman numeral 5. Is there a direct analogy between the development of a system, a planet, a man, and an atom? If by this question the desire exists to demonstrate exact similarity, the answer must be no. The analogy is never exact in detail, but only in certain broad basic correspondences. In all the four factors, there will be found unchangeable points of resemblance, but in development, the stages of growth may not appear the same in detailed evolution, viewed from the standpoint of a man in the three worlds, handicapped as he is by limited apprehension. Page 246. The points of resemblance between the four might be summed up as follows, taking the atom on the physical plane as our starting point and developing the concept from stage to stage. An atom. Footnote. In connection with the atom, the secret doctrine says, 1. Absolute intelligence thrills through every atom. 2. Wherever there is an atom of matter, there is life. 3. The atom is a concrete manifestation of the universal energy. 4. The same invisible lives compose the atoms, etc. 5. Every atom in the universe has the potentiality of self-consciousness. 6. Atoms and souls are synonymous in the language of initiates. 7. The atom belongs wholly to the domain of metaphysics. 8. Deity is within every atom. 9. Every atom is doomed to incessant differentiation. 10. The object of the evolution of the atom is man. 11. A germ exists in the center of every atom. 12. There is heat in every atom. 13. Every atom has 7 planes of being. 14. Atoms are vibrations. From Secret Doctrine, Volume 1, by H.P. Blavatsky. Return to text. A. An atom consists of a spheroidal form containing within itself a nucleus of life. B. An atom contains within itself differentiated molecules which in their totality form the atom itself. For instance, we are told that the physical atom contains within its periphery 14,000 millions of the archetypal atoms, yet these myriads demonstrate as one. C. An atom is distinguished by activity and shows forth the qualities of A. Rotary motion, B. Discriminative power, C. Ability to develop. D. An atom, we are told, contains within itself 3 major spirals and 7 lesser, which 10 are in process of vitalization, but have not yet attained full activity. Page 247. Only 4 are functioning at this stage, and the 5th is in process of development. E. An atom is governed by the law of economy, is coming slowly under the law of attraction, and will eventually come under the law of synthesis. F. An atom finds its place within all forms. It is the aggregation of atoms that produces form. G. Its responsiveness to outer stimulation, electrical stimulation affecting its objective form, magnetic stimulation acting upon its subjective life, the united effect of the two stimulations producing consequent internal growth and development. An atom, therefore, is distinguished by 1. Its spheroidal shape, its ring pass knot, is definite and seen. 2. Its internal arrangement, which comprises the sphere of influence of any particular atom. 3. Its life activity, or the extent to which the life at the center animates the atom, a relative thing at this stage. 4. Its sevenfold inner economy in process of evolution. 5. Its eventual synthesis internally from the 7 into the 3. 6. Its group relation. 7. Its development of consciousness or responsiveness. Having predicated the above facts of the atom, we can extend the idea now to man, following the same general outline. A man. A. A man is spheroidal in form. He can be seen as a circular ring pass knot, a sphere of matter with a nucleus of life at the center. Page 248. In predicating this, we are considering the true man in his fundamental position as the ego, with his sphere of manifestation, the causal body, that body which forms the middle point between spirit and matter. B. A man contains within himself differentiated atoms, which in their totality make up the objective form of the man on the planes of his manifestation. All are animated by his life, by his persistent will to be. All vibrate according to the point reached by the man in evolution. As seen from the higher planes, man demonstrates as a sphere, or spheres, of differentiated matter, vibrating to a certain measure, tinctured by a certain color, and rotating to a fixed key, the key of his life cycle. C. A man is distinguished by activity on one or more planes in the three worlds, and shows forth the qualities of 1. Rotary motion, or his particular cycling on the wheel of life around his egoic pole. 2. Discriminative capacity, or the power to choose and gain experience. 3. Ability to evolve, to increase vibration and to make contact. D. A man contains within himself three major principles: will, love wisdom, active intelligence, or adaptability, and their differentiation into the 7 principles. These, making the eventual 10 of perfected manifestation, are in process of vitalization, but have not yet attained full expression. Only 4 principles in man are active, and he is in process of developing the 5th, or manasic principle. Note how perfect is the analogy between man, viewed as the lower quaternary, developing the principle of mind, and the atom with its 4 spirillae active and the 5th in process of stimulation. E. A man is governed by the law of attraction, is evolved through the law of economy, and is coming under the law of synthesis. Page 249. Economy governs the material process with which he is not so much consciously concerned. Attraction governs his connection with other units or groups, and synthesis is the law of his inner self, of the life within the form. F. Man finds his place within the group form. Egoic groups and the heavenly men are formed by the aggregate of human and of deva units. G. His responsiveness to outer stimulation, A. Electrical stimulation affecting the outer form or pranic response, B. Magnetic stimulation acting upon his subjective life. This emanates from his egoic group and later from the heavenly man in whose body he is a cell. C. The united effect of these 2 stimulations inducing steady growth and development. A man is distinguished, therefore, by 1. His spheroidal shape, his ring pass knot, is definite and seen. 2. His internal arrangement, his entire sphere of influence, is in process of development. At present, that sphere is limited and his range of activity is small. As the body egoic is developed, the nucleus of life at the center increases its radius of control until the whole is brought under rule and government. 3. His life activity, or the extent to which at any given time he demonstrates self-consciousness or controls his threefold lower nature. 4. His sevenfold inner economy, the development of his 7 principles. Page 250. 5. His eventual internal synthesis under the working of the 3 laws, from the 7 into the 3 and later into the 1. 6. His group relation. 7. His development of consciousness, of responsiveness to contact, involving, therefore, the growth of awareness. A heavenly man. Footnote. These heavenly men are 1. The sum total of consciousness. 2. The creators. A. They are the 7 primary creations, or the taking of the etheric body by a heavenly man. B. They are the 7 secondary creations, or the taking of the dense physical body. Trace this in the microcosm and the work of the devas of the ethers in building the body. C. The aggregate of divine intelligence. D. The mind-born sons of Brahma. They are the logoic quaternary, the 5 and the 7. E. The 7 rays. They are the 7 paths back to God, spirit. They are the 7 principles, metaphysically. They are the 7 races, physically. F. The lords of ceaseless and untiring devotion. G. The failures of the last system. H. The polar opposites to the Pleiades. Our system is masculine occultly, and the Pleiades is feminine. A heavenly man in his planetary scheme creates in a similar manner. From The Secret Doctrine, Volume 1 and 2. Return to text. A. Each heavenly man is likewise to be seen as spheroidal in shape. He has his ring pass knot, as has the atom and the man. This ring pass knot comprises the entire planetary scheme, the dense physical globe of any one chain being analogous in his case to the physical body of any man and to the atom on the physical plane. Each scheme of seven chains is the expression of the life of an entity who occupies it as does a man his body, for purposes of manifestation and in order to gain experience. Page 251. B. A heavenly man contains within himself that which corresponds to the cells within the vehicles of expression of a human being. The atoms, or cells, in his body are made up of the aggregate of the deva and human units who vibrate to his keynote and who respond to the measure of his life. All are held together and animated by his will to be, and all vibrate according to the point achieved by him in evolution. From the cosmic standpoint, a heavenly man can be seen as a sphere of wondrous life, which includes within its radius of influence the vibratory capacity of an entire planetary scheme. He vibrates to a certain measure, which can be estimated by the activity of the life pulsating at the center of the sphere. The entire planetary scheme is tinctured by a certain color, is rotating to a fixed key, which is the key of his life cycle, within the still greater Maha Manvantara, or Logoic cycle. C. A heavenly man is distinguished by his activity on one or other of the planes, which we call the triadal, or Atma, Buddhi, Manas, in the same way as a man is distinguished by his activity on one of the planes in the three worlds, mental, astral, physical. Eventually, a man is self-conscious on all three. Eventually, a heavenly man is fully self-conscious on the higher three. Every forward movement or increased vitality in the aggregate of men in the three worlds is paralleled by an analogous activity on the three higher planes. The action and the interaction between the life animating the groups or the heavenly men and the life animating the atoms or men who form the units in groups is both mysterious and wonderful. A heavenly man on his own planes likewise shows forth the qualities of rotary motion, or his particular cycling activity around his life wheel, a planetary scheme, and thus around his egoic pole. Page 252. Discriminating capacity, or the power to choose and thereby gain experience. They are the embodiments of manas, or the intelligent faculty, hence their title of divine manasaputras, which comprehends, chooses, and discards, thus attaining knowledge and self-consciousness. This manasic faculty they developed in earlier kalpas or solar systems. Their purpose is now to utilize that which is developed to bring about certain specific effects and to attain certain specific goals. Ability to evolve, to increase vibration, to gain knowledge, and to make contact. This increased vibration is of a gradual and evolutionary order and proceeds from center to center as it does in man, and as it does in the case of the atomic spirillae. Their aim is to achieve uniformity of contact with each other and to merge eventually their separated identities in the one identity, retaining simultaneously full self-consciousness or individualized self-apprehension. D. A heavenly man contains within himself three major principles, will, love, wisdom, intelligence, and their manifestation through the seven principles so often discussed in our occult literature. These make the ten of his ultimate perfection, for the seven are resolved into the three, and the three into the one. Each heavenly man has, of course, his primary coloring or principle, as has man and the atom. Man has for his primary coloring or principle that of the heavenly man in whose body he is a unit. He has also the other two major principles, as has the heavenly man, and their differentiation into the seven, as earlier said. The atom has for primary coloring or principle that of the egoic ray of the human being, for instance, in whose body it finds place. This, of course, is in connection with the physical atom in a man's body. Page 253. This coloring manifests as the vibration setting the measure of the major three spirillae and the minor seven. Only four principles in the heavenly men are as yet manifesting to any extent, though one of them is rather in advance of the others and has the fifth principle vibrating adequately, while certain others are in process of perfecting the fourth. The heavenly man of our chain is vibrating somewhat to the fifth principle, or rather is in process of awakening it to life. His fourth vibration, or principle, in this fourth round, or cycle, and on this fourth globe, is awakened, though not functioning as it will in the fifth round. Much of the trouble present in the planet at this time arises from the coming into activity of the higher or fifth vibration, which will be completed and transcended in the next or fifth cycle. The analogy, as in man and the atom, again holds good, but not in exact detail. E. A heavenly man is governed by the law of attraction, has transcended the law of economy, and is rapidly coming under the law of synthesis. Note, therefore, the gradual stepping up of the control and the fact that, first, the law of economy is the primary law of the atom. The law of attraction is coming into control of the atom. The law of synthesis is but slightly felt by the life of the atom. It is the law of life. Second, the law of attraction is the primary law of man. The law of economy is a secondary law for man. It governs the matter of his vehicles. The law of synthesis is steadily beginning to be felt. Third, the law of synthesis is the primary law of a heavenly man. The law of attraction has full sway. The law of economy is transcended. The dense physical body is not a principle for a heavenly man. Hence, the law of economy is transcended. The law of attraction governs the material process of form building. The law of synthesis is the law of his being. Page 254. F. A heavenly man is finding his place within the logoic groups and is seeking to realize his position among the seven and by realization to approximate unity. G. His responsiveness to outer stimulation. This, viewed from the limited human standpoint, touches on realms unattainable by man's intellect as yet. It deals with electrical stimulation and concerns the response to solar radiation and to paralleling planetary radiation. Magnetic stimulation, acting upon his subjective life. This radiation emanates from sources outside the system altogether. We might note the following facts. Magnetic stimulation of the physical atom emanates from man on astral levels and later from Buddhic levels. Magnetic stimulation of man emanates from the heavenly men on Buddhic and later on monadic levels. Magnetic stimulation of a heavenly man emanates extrasystemically from the cosmic astral, the united effect of these stimulations inducing steady internal development. A heavenly man is distinguished, therefore, by 1. His spheroidal shape, his ring pass knot during objectivity, is definite and seen. 2. His internal arrangement and his sphere of influence, or that activity animating the planetary chain. 3. His spiritual life control at any given period. It is the power whereby he animates his sevenfold nature. Note the increase of influence as compared to man's threefold radius. Page 255. 4. His eventual ultimate synthesis from the seven into the three and from thence into one. This covers the obscuration of the globes and the blending into unity of the seven principles which each globe is evolving. 5. His evolution under law and consequent development. 6. His group relation. 7. His development of consciousness and of awareness. Finally, we must extend these ideas to a solar logos and see how completely the analogy persists. The paragraphs dealing with stimulation, magnetic and electric, inevitably brings us back to the contemplation of fire, the basis and source of all life. A solar logos. A. A solar logos, the grand man of the heavens, is equally spheroidal in shape. His ring pass knot comprises the entire circumference of the solar system and all that is included within the sphere of influence of the sun. The sun holds a position analogous to the nucleus of life at the center of the atom. This sphere comprises within its periphery the seven planetary chains with the synthesizing three, making the 10 of logoic manifestation. The sun is the physical body of the solar logos, his body of manifestation, and his life sweeps cycling through the seven schemes in the same sense as the life of a planetary logos, sweep 7 times around his scheme of 7 chains. Each chain holds a position analogous to a globe in a planetary chain. Note the beauty of the correspondence, yet withal the lack of detailed analogy. B. A solar logos contains within himself, as the atoms in his body of manifestation, all groups of every kind from the involutionary group soul to the egoic groups on the mental plane. Page 256. He has for the animating centers of his body the 7 major groups, or the 7 heavenly men, who ray forth their influence to all parts of the logoic sphere, and who embody within themselves all lesser lives, the lesser groups, human and deva units, cells, atoms, and molecules. Seen from cosmic levels, the sphere of the logos can be visualized as a vibrating ball of fire of supernal glory, containing within its circle of influence the planetary spheres, likewise vibrating balls of fire. The grand man of the heavens vibrates to a steadily increasing measure. The entire system is tinctured by a certain color, the color of the life of the logos, the one divine ray. And the system rotates to a certain measure, which is the key of the great kalpa or solar cycle, and revolves around its central solar pole. C. The solar logos is distinguished by his activity on all the planes of the solar system. He is the sum total of all manifestation, from the lowest and densest physical atom up to the most radiant and cosmic ethereal Daihan Chohan. This sevenfold vibratory measure is the key of the lowest cosmic plane, and its rate of rhythm can be felt on the cosmic astral, with a faint response on the cosmic mental. Thus, the life of the logoic existence on cosmic levels may be seen paralleling the life of a man in the 3 worlds, the lowest of the systemic planes. On his own planes, the logos likewise shows forth, first, rotary motion. His life, as it cycles through a day of Brahma, can be seen spiraling around his greater wheel, the 10 schemes of a solar system. Second, discriminatory capacity. His first act, as we know, was to discriminate or choose the matter he needed for manifestation. That choice was controlled by cosmic karma, vibratory capacity, responsive coloring or quality, numerical factors involved in cosmic mathematics. Page 257. He is the embodiment of cosmic manas, and through the use of this faculty, he seeks, by means of animated form, to build into his cosmic causal body a paralleling quality of love wisdom. Third, ability to progress, to increase vibration, and to gain full self-consciousness on cosmic levels. D. The solar logos contains within himself the 3 major principles or aspects and their differentiation into 7 principles. These make the 10 of his ultimate perfection and are eventually synthesized into the one perfected principle of love wisdom. This ultimate principle is his primary coloring. Each principle is embodied in one of the schemes and is being worked out through one of the heavenly men. Only 4 principles are as yet manifested to any extent, for the evolution of the logos parallels that of the heavenly men. E. The solar logos is governed by the law of synthesis. He holds all in synthetic unity or homogeneity. His subjective life is governed by the law of attraction. His material form is governed by the law of economy. He is coming under another cosmic law as yet incomprehensible to men, which law is but revealed to the highest initiates. F. The solar logos is in process of ascertaining his place within the greater system in which he holds a place analogous to that of a heavenly man in a solar system. He seeks first to find the secret of his own existence and to achieve full self-consciousness. Secondly, to ascertain the position and place of his polar opposite. Thirdly, to merge and blend with that polar opposite. This is the cosmic marriage of the logos. Page 258. End of side 1, cassette number 6, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 258. Continued on side 2. Cassette number 6, side 2, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 1, division F, introductory questions, on page 258. G. A solar logos is distinguished by his responsiveness to outer stimulation. This concerns itself with electrical stimulation or his response to electrical phohatic force emanating from other stellar centers, and controlling largely the action of our system and its movements in space in relation to other constellations. Magnetic stimulation, acting upon his subjective life and emanating from certain cosmic centers hinted at in the Secret Doctrine. These find their source on cosmic Buddhic levels. It is their united effect which induces steady development. The solar logos is distinguished, one, by the spheroidicity of his manifesting existence. His solar ring pass knot is definite and seen. This can only be demonstrated as yet by the endeavor to ascertain the extent of the subjective control by the measure of the solar sphere of influence or the magnetic attraction of the sun to other lesser bodies which it holds in circular motion around itself. 2. By the activity of the life animating the 10 schemes. 3. By the extent of the control exerted by the logos at any given period. 4. By the ultimate synthesis of the 7 schemes into 3 and thence into 1. This covers the obscuration of the schemes and the unification of the 7 principles which they embody. 5. By his subjection to the law of his being. 6. By his group relation. 7. By his unfoldment of consciousness, the time factor being controlled by the measure of the unfoldment of all the conscious units in his body. Page 259. Here we have traced very briefly some of the analogies between the 4 factors earlier mentioned and have, in a cursory way, answered the question. These points, if dwelt upon, will be found of real assistance in developing the mental appreciation of the student and in increasing his apprehension of the beauty of the entire solar scheme. Roman numeral 6. What is the mind aspect? Why is the manasic principle of such importance? Who are the Manasaputras? We are now to touch upon the profoundest mystery of the whole manifested solar system, the mystery spoken of by HPB as the mystery of electricity. It is intimately connected with the life of God as demonstrated through his 7 centers, the 7 heavenly men, the divine Manasaputras. This problem is not soluble as yet exoterically, and but little can be revealed to the general public. This is for 3 reasons. First, the stage reached by man does not permit of his correct apprehension of these abstractions. Second, the greater part of the possible explanation is only revealed to initiates who have passed the 3rd initiation, and even to them in a carefully guarded manner. Third, the revelation of the close connection between mind and phohat, or energy, or between thought power and electrical phenomena, the effect of phohatic impulse on matter, is fraught with peril, and the missing link, if so it might be termed, in the chain of reasoning from phenomena to its initiatory impulse can only be safely imparted when the bridge between the higher and lower mind is adequately constructed. When the lower is under the control of the higher, or when the quaternary is merging into the triad, then man can be trusted with the remaining 4 fundamentals. Page 260. 3 of these fundamentals are laid down for us in the proem of the Secret Doctrine, and with the evolving concept of psychology make the revealed 3 and the dawning 4th. The other 3 are esoteric and must remain so until each man has for himself worked at his spiritual development, built the bridge between the higher and the lower mind, prepared the shrine in the Temple of Solomon for the light of God, and turned his activities into altruistic helping of the evolutionary plans of the Logos. When these qualities are assuming a foremost place, and when man has demonstrated the thoroughness of his will to serve, then the clue will be put into his hands, and he will find the method whereby electrical impulse, demonstrating as heat, light, and motion, is controlled and utilized. He will discover the source of the initial impulse from extrasystemic centers, and discover the basic rhythm. Then, and only then, will he be a truly intelligent cooperator, and, escaping from the control of the law in the 3 worlds, wield the law himself within the lower spheres. 1. The nature of manifestation. Here are three important questions to be dealt with as one, all bearing on the same subject and all concerned with the fact of intelligent objectivity itself. Perhaps if we paraphrased the threefold query and brought it down to microcosmic objectivity, the problem might not appear so complex. We might express it thus. What is the thought aspect of a human being? Why is his mind and mental process of such importance? Who is the thinker? Man, in essential essence, is the higher triad demonstrating through a gradually evolving form, the egoic or causal body, and utilizing the lower threefold personality as a means to contact the lower three planes. Page 261. All this has for purpose the development of perfect self-consciousness. Above the triad stands the monad, or the Father in heaven, a point of abstraction to man as he views the subject from the physical plane. The monad stands to him in the position of the absolute, in the same sense as the undifferentiated logos stands to the threefold trinity, to the three persons of logoic manifestation. The parallel is exact. 1. The monad. 2. The threefold triad, Atma, Buddhi, Manas, or spiritual will, intuition, and higher mind. 3. The body egoic, or the causal body, the shrine for the Buddhic principle. This body is to be built by the power of the mind. It is the manifestation of the three. 4. The threefold lower nature, the points of densest objectivity. 5. This threefold lower nature is in essence a quaternary, the etheric vehicle, animating life or prana, kama manas, and lower mind. Manas, or the fifth principle, forms the link between the lower and the higher. We have therefore our lower four, our higher three, and the relation between them, the principle of mind. Here we have the seven formed by the union of the three and the four, and another factor making eight. The ultimate seven will be seen when Buddhi and Manas are merged. Much has been hinted at in certain of our occult books about the eighth sphere. I would suggest that in this linking factor of intelligent mind, we have a clue to the mystery. When mind becomes unduly developed and ceases to unite the higher and the lower, it forms a sphere of its own. This is the greatest disaster that can overtake the human unit. Page 262. Therefore we have monad, the microcosmic absolute, pure spirit, the one and only. The monadic trinity, first aspect, Atma or spiritual will, second aspect, Buddhi, the Christ principle. Third aspect, manas, or higher mind. The sun aspect in objectivity, the body egoic or causal body. The lower quaternary, 1. The mental body, 2. The astral or emotional body, 3. Prana or vital energy, 4. Etheric body. The microcosm reproduces the solar system in miniature. The above deals with the objective forms corresponding to the sun and the seven sacred planets. But the exoteric form is paralleled by a psychic development which we call the seven principles. Man develops seven principles which might be enumerated as follows. Microcosmic principles. Two higher principles, one active intelligence, two latent love wisdom. The psychic nature of the monad is twofold. 1. The principle of Atma, spiritual nature, will. 2. The principle of Buddhi, love nature, wisdom. 3. The principle of Manas, intelligence, nature, activity. Page 263. Note here that the three principles in terms of the triad, with the two synthesizing principles on the plane of the monad, make five principles and give the key to HPB's numbering in certain places. We might express it thus. Roman numeral 1, the absolute, the monad. Roman numeral 2, 1, Prakriti, active intelligence, the divine Manasaputra. 2, Purusha, love wisdom, the Vishnu aspect. On the plane of objectivity, Roman numeral 3, 3, Atma, 4, Buddhi, 5, Manas. And these three make the triad. From the standpoint of evolution, we regard the higher two and the highest one as the correspondence to the absolute as he manifests in duality. This is prior to objectivity, which requires the presence of the three. In manifestation, we might regard the principles as follows. First principle, the sphere of manifestation, the monadic egg. Second principle, Atma, will. Third principle, Buddhi, pure reason, wisdom. Fourth principle, Manas, pure mind, higher mind. Fifth principle, Manas, lower mind. Sixth principle, Kama Manas. Seventh principle, pure emotion or feeling. Page 264. These are the principles for the microcosm viewed as having transcended the physical bodies altogether, and thus the tabulation deals entirely with the subjective life or the development of the psyche or soul. This should be borne carefully in mind, else confusion will ensue. In our enumeration, we are here dealing with subjectivity and not with form. We have therefore considered A. Sevenfold objectivity, the material forms. B. Sevenfold subjectivity, the psychic evolution. C. Sevenfold spirituality, the life of the entity. We will note also that in the tabulation of the spiritual life of the monad, we considered it as fivefold. This was necessarily so in this fivefold evolution, but the remaining two principles might be considered as 6. The life of the heavenly man in whose body the human monad finds a place. 7. The life of the logos in whose body the heavenly man finds place. It might be useful here to consider another enumeration of the principles of man as he manifests in the three worlds, the planes whereon the subjective and the objective are united. What have we here? Let us begin where man begins, with the lowest. 7. The etheric body. 1. The vital body. 6. Prana. 2. Vital force. 5. Kama manas. 3. Desire mind. 4. Lower mind. 4. Concrete mind. 3. Manas. 5. Higher or abstract mind. 2. Buddhi. 6. Wisdom, Christ force, intuition. 1. Atma. 7. Spiritual will. This is the lowest enumeration for little evolved man at the present time. From the standpoint of the ego, what can be seen? Roman numeral 1, the absolute, Atma, pure will to be. Roman numeral 2, the duad, 1, Buddhi, pure reason, wisdom. 2, Manas, pure mind. Roman numeral 3, the triad, 3, the causal body, 4, lower mind. Page 266. 5, Kama Manas, 6, Prana, 7, the etheric body. In these various enumerations of the principles, we are dealing with them, as HPB has pointed out they must be dealt with, from differing standpoints, dependent upon the stage reached and the angle of vision. Footnote. H.P. Blavatsky says in The Secret Doctrine, in connection with the principles, A. that mistakes in the classification are very possible. B. that we must seek the occult meaning, that there are really 6, not 7, principles. C. that there are several classifications. D. that the esoteric enumeration cannot be made to correspond with the exoteric. E. that the numbering of the principles is a question of spiritual progress. From The Secret Doctrine, Volumes 2 and 3. Return to text. We have considered them thus in answering question 6 because we have sought to emphasize and to impress clearly upon our minds that the three lines of development must be remembered when considering the evolution of the Manasaputras. 2. The objective development. This is sevenfold in evolution and in time, ninefold during obscuration, and tenfold at dissolution. Macrocosmic. 1. The 7 sacred planets of the solar system. 2. The 2 which are hid, which are the synthesizing planets. 3. The 1 final synthesizing planet, the sun. 7 added to 2, added to 1, make 10. There are 10 centers in the grand heavenly man. A heavenly man. 1. The 7 chains of a scheme. 2. The 2 synthesizing chains. 3. 1 ultimate chain. There are 10 centers in a planetary logos. Page 267. Microcosm. 1. The 7 vehicles employed. A. The atmic sheath. B, the buddhic vehicle, C, the causal or egoic body, D, the mental body, E, the astral body, F, the etheric body, G, the dense physical. 2. Two synthesizing bodies, A, the causal body, B, the physical body. 3. One synthesizing body, A, the monadic sheath. There are 7 centers in the physical vehicle which correspond to these bodies, with the synthesizing centers at the heart and throat. The head is then the ultimate synthesizer. This tabulation deals entirely with the form side and with the vehicles indwelled by the logos, the manasaputras, and by man. 3. The subjective development. This is also sevenfold. 1. Astral, pure desire, emotion, feeling. 2. Kama manas, desire mind. 3. Manas, lower concrete mind. 4. Higher manas, abstract or pure mind. 5. Buddhi, pure reason, intuition. 6. Atma, pure will, realization. 7. Monadic, will, love, wisdom, intelligence. This deals with the sevenfold development of inherent love wisdom by the aid of mind. This proceeds macrocosmically through the 7 heavenly men, who are actively intelligent, inherently love, and are objectively seen through their forms, the planetary schemes. In their totality, they are the logos, the grand man of the heavens. In the case of a heavenly man, the development proceeds through the 7 groups of human entities who form their psychic centers, page 268. These groups are, on their own plane, developing intelligence, are inherently love, and can be objectively contacted on the 7 chains of a scheme. In the case of individual man, the development proceeds through his 7 centers, which are the key to his psychic evolution. A man is also developing intelligence, is inherently love, and is objectively seen through one or other of his bodies. What I seek to emphasize is the fact of the psychic development, and also that subjective evolution is the main enterprise of the logos, of a planetary logos, and of a man. Active intelligent love, the bringing forth from latency of the inherent quality of love by the intelligent application of the mind faculty, will be the result of the evolutionary process. Just as objectivity is dual, life form, so subjectivity is dual, mind love, and the blending of the two produces consciousness. Spirit alone is unity and is undivided. The development of spirit, or its assumption of the fruits of evolution, is only to be realized and brought about when the dual evolution of the form and the psyche is consummated. Then spirit garners the fruits of evolution and gathers to itself the qualities nurtured during manifestation, perfect love and perfect intelligence, showing forth then as active, intelligent love wisdom. We might therefore answer the questions, what is the mind aspect and why is it so important, by saying that the mind aspect is in reality the ability or capacity of the logoic existence to think, to act, to build, and to evolve in order to develop the faculty of active love. When the logos, who is active intelligence, has run his life cycle, he will be also love fully manifested throughout nature. Page 269. This can be likewise predicated of a heavenly man in his sphere and of a man in his tiny cycle. Thus the importance of manas can be fully seen. It is the means whereby evolution becomes possible, comprehension is achieved, and activity is generated and utilized. Let us now consider how this question can be expressed in terms of fire. Objectively, 1. The sea of fire. Subjectively, 1. Our God is a consuming fire, energizing will. Objectively, 2. The Akasha. Subjectively, 2. The light of God, form aspect. Objectively, 3. The ether. Subjectively, 3. The heat of matter, activity aspect. Objectively, 4. The air. Subjectively, 4. The illumination of the intuition. Objectively, 5. Fire. Subjectively, 5. The fire of mind. Objectively, 6. The astral light. Subjectively, 6. The heat of the emotions. Objectively, 7. Physical plane electricity. subjectively 7, kundalini and prana. Spiritually, this is hid in a threefold mystery: 1, the mystery of electricity; 2, the mystery of the 7 constellations; 3, the mystery of the one above the logos. 4, the heavenly men and man. The final part of question 6 is, who are the Manasaputras? This will be dealt with in greater detail in connection with our planet when taking up the subject of the coming of the Lords of Flame. It is desirable now to make certain facts clear which must form the basis of any thought upon this subject. Page 270. The divine Manasaputras, who are known in the secret doctrine by diverse names, are the mind-born sons of Brahma, the third aspect logoic. Footnote. In the secret doctrine, the heavenly men are spoken of as agents of creation. They are the totality of manifestation. 2, they are pre-cosmic. 3, they are the sum total of solar and lunar entities. 4, they are the 7 biblical archangels. They are the 7 forces or creative powers. They are the 7 spirits before the throne. They are the 7 spirits of the planets. 5, in their totality, they are the secret unpronounceable name. 6, they are the collective Dihan Chohans. 7, they are the 7 Kumaras, the 7 Rishis. 8, they are the sons of light. 9, they are the hierarchy of creative powers. 10, they are the veiled synthesis. 11, they are our own planetary deities. 12, they are all men, the product of other worlds. 13, they are closely connected with the 7 stars of the Great Bear. 14, they are symbolized by circles. 15, they are collectively the fallen angels. From the Secret Doctrine, Volumes 1, 2, and 3. Return to text. They are the 7 planetary logoi and are the lords of the rays, the 7 heavenly men. They developed the mind aspect in the first solar system, that in which Brahma was paramount and in himself embodied objective existence. This he did in the same sense as that in which the second aspect, the Vishnu or Dragon of Wisdom aspect, is the sum total of existence in this, the second system. The cells in their bodies are made up of the units of the human and Deva evolutions in the same manner, only on a higher turn of the spiral, as the bodies of human beings are made up of living organisms, the various animated cells, or the lesser lives. This is a basic fact in occultism, and the relationship between the cells in the human vehicles and the cells in the bodies of a heavenly man will be productive of illumination if carefully studied. Page 271. Just as a human being has an originating source, the monad, and a semi-permanent vehicle, the causal body, but manifests through his lower principles, of which the dense physical is not one, so a heavenly man has an originating source, his monad, a semi-permanent body on the monadic levels of the solar system, but manifests through 3 lower sheaths, our atmic, buddhic, and manasic levels. He is extraneous to the astral and physical planes, just as a human being is to the physical. Man vitalizes the physical vehicle with his force or heat, but he does not occultly count it as a principle. So the heavenly man is extraneous to the 2 lower planes of manifestation, though he vitalizes them with his force. The human being realizes his relationship as a cell in the body to a heavenly man only when he is developing the consciousness of the ego on its own plane. If it might be so expressed, the groups of causal bodies are the lowest forms through which a heavenly man manifests, just as the physical body is the lowest through which a human being manifests, and this in its etheric connotation. It should be borne in mind that the manifesting existences embody certain planes and have their points of deepest involution on diverse levels. A man originates on the monadic level, has his main focal point on the 5th level, the mental, but is seeking full conscious development on the 3 lower planes, the mental, the astral, and the physical. B, a heavenly man has his source outside the solar system, as man outside the 3 worlds of his endeavor, has his main focal point on the 2nd plane of the system, the monadic, and is seeking consciousness on the planes of the triad, this in relation to all the cells in his body. He developed consciousness on the three lower planes of the three worlds during the first solar system, again in relation to the cells in his body. Man is repeating his endeavor up to the fifth initiation, which will bring him to a stage of consciousness achieved by a heavenly man in a much earlier Maha Manvantara. In connection with the initiations, this should be carefully borne in mind. C. A solar logos has his origin on a still higher cosmic level, has his main focal point on the cosmic mental plane, but is expressing himself through the three lower cosmic planes, just as man is seeking self-expression in the three worlds. Therefore, the seven major planes of the solar system are in the same relation to him cosmically as the physical plane is to a human being. They form his etheric and dense bodies. It might be stated that 1. He vitalizes them by his life and heat. 2. He animates them. 3. He is fully conscious through them. 4. The etheric is, in time, his lowest principle, but the dense physical is not counted. The dense cosmic physical body is composed of matter of the three lower planes of the solar system, the mental, the astral, and the physical. The buddhic plane is consequently the fourth cosmic ether. D. The heavenly men form the seven centers in the body of the logos. Therefore, they are the spheres of fire which animate his body, and each of them expresses one form of his force manifestation according to their place within the body. E. Human beings, when centered within their groups on causal levels, form one or other of the seven centers in the body of a heavenly man. F. The solar logos forms one center in the body of a still greater cosmic entity. Human beings, therefore, find their place within one of the 49 centers, not groups, for a center may be made up of many groups corresponding to the different parts, of the seven heavenly men. Page 273. A heavenly man with his seven centers forms one center in the body of the solar logos. I would here point out to you the close connection existing between the seven rishis of the Great Bear and the seven heavenly men. The seven rishis of the Great Bear are to them what the monad is to the evolving human unit. Roman numeral 7. Why is the progress of evolution cyclic? This question is one which necessarily appalls us and makes us wonder. Let us therefore deal with it as follows. Certain ideas are involved in the thought of cyclic progression, and these ideas it might pay us well to contemplate. 1. The idea of repetition. This repetition involves the following factors. A. Repetition in time. The thought of cyclic activity necessitates periods of time of differing length, greater or lesser cycles, but, according to their length, of uniform degree. A Manvantara, or day of Brahma, is always of a certain length, and so is a Maha Manvantara. The cycles wherein an atom of any plane revolves upon its axis are uniform on its own plane. B. Repetition in fact. This involves the idea of a key measure or sound of any particular group of atoms that go to the composition of any particular form. This grouping of atoms will tend to the makeup of a particular series of circumstances and will repeat the measure or sound when an animating factor is brought to bear upon them. When the vitalizing force is contacting at stated periods a certain set of atoms, it will call forth from them a specific sound, which will demonstrate objectively as environing circumstances. In other words, the interplay of the self and the not-self is invariably of a cyclic nature. Page 274. The same quality and tone will be called forth by the self as it indwells the form, but the key will ascend by gradual degrees. It is similar to the effect produced in striking the same note in different octaves, beginning at the bass. C. Repetition in space. This concept is involved deep in the greater concept of karma, which is really the law that governs the matter of the solar system, and which commenced its work in earlier solar systems. We have, therefore, cycles in order, and repetition in an ever-ascending spiral under definite law. The thoughts thus conveyed might be expressed likewise as follows. A. The solar system repeating its activity, repetition in space. B, a planetary chain repeating its activity, repetition in time. C, the constant consecutive reverberation of a plane note, of a subplane note, and of all that is called into objectivity by that note, plane repetition. D, the tendency of atoms to perpetuate their activity and thus produce similarity of circumstance, of environment, and of vehicle, form repetition. When we carry these ideas on to every plane in the solar system and from thence to the cosmic planes, we have opened up for ourselves infinitude. 2. Repetition of cyclic action is governed by two laws. Perhaps it is more accurate to say that it is governed by one law primarily and a subsidiary law. This leads to two general types of cycles and is involved in the very nature of the self and of the not-self. Page 275. The interplay of the two by the aid of mind produces that which we call environment or circumstance. The general law which produces cyclic effect is the law of attraction and repulsion, of which the subsidiary law is the law of periodicity and of rebirth. Cyclic evolution is entirely the result of the activity of matter and of the will or spirit. It is produced by the interaction of active matter and molding spirit. Every form holds hid a life. Every life constantly reaches out after the similar life latent in other forms. When spirit and matter sound the same note, evolution will cease. When the note sounded by the form is stronger than that of spirit, we have attraction between forms. When the note sounded by spirit is stronger than that of matter and form, we have spirit repelling form. Here we have the basis for the battlefield of life and its myriads of intermediate stages, which might be expressed as follows. A. The period of the domination of the form note is that of involution. B. The period of the repulsion of form by spirit is that of the battlefield of the three worlds. C. The period of the attraction of spirit and spirit, and the consequent withdrawal from form, is that of the path. D. The period of domination of the note of spirit is that of the higher planes of evolution. To the synchronization of the notes, or to the lack of synchronization, may be attributed all that occurs in the world cycles. Thus we have the production of harmony, first the basic note of matter, then the note of spirit gradually overcoming the lower note and usurping attention till gradually the note of spirit overpowers all other notes. Page 276. Yet it must be borne in mind that it is the note of the life that holds the form together. The note of the sun, for instance, holds in just attraction the circling spheres, the planets. The notes synchronize and harmonize till the stage of adequacy is reached and the period of abstraction. Cyclic evolution proceeds. A human being, similarly, holds by means of his note the atoms of the three bodies together, being to them as the central sun to the planets. Primarily, nevertheless, it may be posited that the law of attraction is the demonstration of the powers of spirit, whilst the law of repulsion governs the form. Spirit attracts spirit throughout the greater cycle. In lesser cycles, spirit temporarily attracts matter. The tendency of spirit is to merge and blend with spirit. Form repulses form, and thus brings about separation. But during the great cycle of evolution, when the third factor of mind comes in, and when the point of balance is the goal, the cyclic display of the interaction between spirit and form is seen, and the result is the ordered cycles of the planets, of a human being, and of an atom. Thus, through repetition, is consciousness developed and responsive faculty induced. When this faculty is of such a nature that it is an inherent part of the entity's working capital, it has to be exercised on every plane, and again, cyclic action is the law, and hence rebirth again and again is the method of exercise. When the innate conscious faculty of every unit of consciousness has become coordinated as part of the equipment of the logos on every plane of the solar system, then and only then will cyclic evolution cease, will rotary movement on every plane of the cosmic physical plane be of such a uniform vibration as to set up action on the next cosmic plane, the astral. Page 277. 3. The third idea involved is that of the two types of cycles. 1. Rotation on the axis. This is to be seen whether we are dealing with a minute atom of substance, with a planet revolving on its axis, with the rotation of the causal body, or with the rotation of a solar system. A. In relation to the human being, this might be considered as the rotation of the various sheaths around the central consciousness during any one incarnation. B. In relation to a heavenly man, it might be considered as the rotation of a globe within a chain, or the period of one incarnation. C. In relation to a solar logos, it might be considered as one complete revolution of the sun in space, with all that is included within the ring pass knot. 2. Rotation around an orbit. This is the revolution of a sphere of life not only on its axis, but along a spheroidal path or orbit around a central point. A. In connection with man, this might be considered as the revolution of the wheel of life, or the passage of an entity through the three lower planes down into incarnation and back again. B. In connection with a heavenly man, it might be considered as the cycle which we call a round, in which the life of the heavenly man cycles through all the seven globes. C. In connection with the solar logos, it is the complete revolution of the solar system around its cosmic center. It is to be noted at this point that the ideas dealt with in connection with cyclic evolution cannot be posited apart from the concept of consciousness. The ideas of time, of space, and of activity, from the point of view of the occultist, can only be conceived as relative to some conscious entity, to some thinker. Page 278. Time, to the occultist, is that cycle, greater or lesser, in which some life runs some specific course, in which some particular period begins, continues, and ends, in connection with the awareness of some entity, and is recognized only as time when the participating life has reached a considerable stage of awareness. Time has been defined as a succession of states of consciousness, and it therefore may be studied from the point of view of a logoic consciousness, or the successive states of divine realization within the solar sphere. Page 279. B. Planetary consciousness, or the consciousness of a heavenly man as he cycles successively through the scheme. C. Causal consciousness, or the successive expanding of the intelligent awareness of a human being from life to life. D. Human consciousness, or the awareness of a man on the physical plane and progressively on the emotional and the mental planes. E. Animal, vegetable, and mineral consciousness, which differs from the human consciousness in many particulars and primarily in that it does not coordinate or deduce and recognize separate identity. It resembles human consciousness in that it covers the response to successive contacts of the units involved during their small cycles. F. Atomic consciousness, demonstrating through successive states of repulsion and attraction. In this last definition lies the key to the other states of consciousness. An atom revolves upon its axis. In its revolution, it comes within the field of activity of other atoms. These it either attracts and swings into its own field of operation, or it repulses and drives them outside its range of activity, causing separation. One thing to be borne in mind in the concept of mutual attraction is the preservation of identity in cohesion. A human being in objective manifestation likewise revolves upon his axis, or around his central point, his mainspring of animation. This brings him within the range of activity of other men, other human atoms. This, similarly, either tends to cooperation or cohesion, or to separation or repulsion. Again, it must be borne in mind that even in cohesion, identity is preserved. Page 280. A heavenly man, through the form of a planetary chain, similarly revolves upon his axis, and a like phenomena may be observed. A planet repulses a planet similarly charged, for it is a known law that like particles repel each other. But occultly, it is a known law that they will eventually attract each other as the vibration becomes sufficiently strong. A negative planet will be attracted by a positive, and so on through all forms. This is the manifestation of sex in substance of every kind, from the tiny atom in the body to the vast planetary chains and this is the basis of activity. Radiatory activity is simply the interplay between male and female, and this can be seen in the physical atom of the scientist, among men and women, and in the vaster atom of a solar system as it vibrates with its cosmic opposite. We might therefore consider time as that process of activity, or that progression in development, wherein the indwelling consciousness is seeking its opposite and coming under the law of attraction, which leads to atomic, human, planetary, spiritual, solar, and cosmic marriage. This idea is comparatively simple in relation to a human being and can be seen in daily demonstration in his contacts with other men. These contacts are governed, for instance, very largely by his likes and dislikes. All these attractions and repulsions are under law, and their cause exists in form itself. The emotion of like or of dislike is nothing else but the realization by the conscious entity of the swinging into his magnetic radius of an atomic form which he is led by the very law of his own being to either attract or repulse. Only when the form is transcended and spirit seeks out spirit will the phenomena of repulsion cease. This will be the inevitable finale at the cessation of solar evolution, and it will bring about pralaya. The duration of the interplay, the period of the search of spirit for spirit, and the vibratory process necessitated by the utilization of the form, this we call time, whether in connection with a man, a planetary logos, or the deity. Page 281. Space, again, is included in the idea of consciousness and its utilization of matter. Space, for the logos, is literally the form wherein his conscious activities and purposes are worked out, the solar ring pass knot. The space wherein a planetary logos works out his plans is similarly as much of solar space as his consciousness is developed enough to use. Man again repeats the process, and his ring pass knot is included in the radius of his consciousness, and may be very circumscribed, as in the case of the little evolved, or may be inclusive of a portion of planetary space of great extent, and, even in the case of the very highly evolved, may begin to touch the periphery of the sphere of influence of the planetary logos in whose body he is a cell. Space for the atom, for instance, the atom in the physical body of man, will be the radius of the form in which is found the greatest center of consciousness of which it is a part, and it will be both attracted and repulsed, attracted and built into the form of the greater life, yet repulsed and thereby prevented from moving from a certain point within that form. We have here dealt a little with time and space in their relation to a specific center of consciousness. We have seen that they are simply forms of ideas to express the cyclic activity of an entity. The subject is exceedingly abstruse due to the low stage of the human intelligence, which is as yet so occupied with the objective or material side of manifestation that the attraction existing between spirit and spirit is little more than a concept. When more of the human family have their center of consciousness in the ego, and hence are busy with the work of repulsing matter and with the withdrawal of spirit from form, then only will the transmutative process be comprehended. Then only will time, as known in the three worlds, be transcended, and then only will space, as manifested to man through the three lower planes, or the 18 subplanes, be found to be a barrier. Page 282. This same statement can be predicated of the seven logoi and of the solar logos, extending the idea to other planes, solar and cosmic. So also can it be narrowed down to the subhuman and to the involutionary lives, remembering ever that as the consciousness is more confined and restricted, so inertia, lack of response, and limitation of radiation will be seen. End of side 2, cassette number 6, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 282. Continued on side 1 of cassette number 7.